Well, hi, it's Mac, it's McCorgan here on Audioboo. It's Sunday, the 13th of January 2013. And Pilgrim Chris has put up two or three boos now on a wee project that has basically escalated. And it started off as a poem that he got Paul O'Mahony, Manny Blog, to read out, who, by the way, read it out excellently. Paul, very well done indeed. And Chris was looking to get some backing music put to the poem, and was asking people how they went about it, any help, any advice. Anyway, that's in hand, and Chris has done some other booze. Now, the name of the poem was The Paper Shirt and the Prod. I just had to glance across there to get it to read it out correctly. And, well, if you've listened to it, you'll kind of get the gist of what's going on. But having listened to this, and it got me kind of wondering how many people out there don't fully appreciate what it's all about, and the ins and outs and the trouble that it's caused over here. Now, people think it's associated with Northern and Southern Ireland, and in the purest of senses, that's probably true. But living here in central Scotland, being born and bred in this town of Bathgate, we came across this right from an early age. Not so much the being a Tim or a Billy, but certainly being Catholic and Protestant. And when I attended the senior secondary school here, St Mary's, immediately adjacent to that, just through over a wall and through a gate, was the Lindsay High, which was a Protestant school. And I remember the poems getting knocked about across through the gates. Songs about proddy dogs, eat frogs, two for top same. And they had their version for us Catholics, put it that way. But that was just a sort of a gentle thing that, even at the big school, it was never serious. And certainly it was never called a Fenian bastard. Excuse my language, but that's the language that gets used. Now, being born in Bathgate was such a neutral town. In other words, there was no predominance of either Catholic, Protestant or whatever. And everyone just got on with each other. These things happened at the school bus, or they happened at the school gates. But it was never carried forward, and we ran about with the same people. We were shouting to each other. And don't get me wrong, this wasn't something that we, at the meal breaks at school, that we instantly ran out and done. It just wasn't like that. But it was a sort of a light-hearted affair. But everyone got on with everyone and played football with the same guys that were Catholic, non-Catholic. So, but where I really came across it was in my wife's hometown up there in Hart Hill. And Hart Hill, a few miles from here, an old mining town, and it's a small town, and it is known in the country as Little Ulster, or it may be known as Little Derry, it doesn't matter, Little Ulster's meaning, because it's predominantly, not just Protestant, but predominantly Orange, and predominantly Rangers supporters, and it's not unique in that respect. Armadale, which is only a mile and a half from where I stay, has the same basis, very, very strong in that respect, Catholics in a minority. But in my wife's hometown, the Catholics were in a vast minority, I have to say that. You're probably talking about 5% of the population were Catholic. Now, what my wife grew up with, what I experienced when I began dating her and then eventually marrying her and staying there for 21 years was the sheer bitterness and bigotry and hatred that was given to Catholics in that town. They were despised, they were ill-treated, the church at the Orange Walks every year, and there was always more than one Orange Walk in Hart Hill. And the Catholic men had to go down and protect the church, the chapel and the chapel house, because if they weren't there and didn't show face, you can guarantee the bricks would be through the windows. And they even set fire to the chapel and the chapel house one year. Now, the kind of victory they got was my wife, as a young girl, and I mean a young girl, used to be plagued by some of the older lads and even some of the senior men as they passed their gates, and she'd be called a wee Fenian bastard. Now, for a young girl at that age, she didn't know what a Fenian was or a bastard, and would run back to her mum and dad. And it was up to a big brother who used to go and find out who it was, and he was a big lad, big lad, and he would go and sort them out, as did her father, because grown men should not be saying those things to little girls. And that's what our whole family grew up with. In this small community, a small mining town, the bigotry was terrible. And having stayed there for 21 years, I experienced this. You would hear the sniggers, then you would hear if I went to the pub on a Saturday night. It wasn't in your face, at least it wasn't for me, because probably because I was an outsider, but they knew I was married to a Fenian. And you could hear them saying, "No, that's, I wouldn't say my wife's second name, I won't give her second, her family name away." But they would say, "That's so-and-so's, oh yeah, he's a Fenian as well then," or something like that, you know. And it was absolutely terrible. And I'll tell you, I know people will say that it's equal-sided, but it's absolutely not equal-sided. I can tell you that from now. Because there's many examples come across where I've been in places that are predominantly Catholic, and I've never ever heard that being said about, that's an orange bee, or, you know, an orange bastard, or an orange this. I've never honestly ever heard that. I'm not saying it doesn't happen at football matches or other places, but I have never heard it. I have heard it in Armadale, I've heard it in Hart Hill, I've heard it in the other towns that are predominantly Protestant, predominantly orange. And I got my eyes and ears opened when I stayed up there in Hartwell for 21 years. And it was absolutely shocking what those people went through. There's so many stories that happened in my 21 years that wouldn't even cover what happened when my wife was growing up and what happened when we left. And I'm going to tell you why we left that time. We were getting a wee bit depressed with the town anyway, because it was really shifting. The younger generation of, let's say, Orangemen, were taking hold and were beginning to be very vocal and in your face about what they do. Now, even at the gala days and at the Orange Walk, they would go out and paint all the curb stones at the side of the road red, white and blue. Now, the council at that point allowed that, so that says a wee bit about the council allowing them to paint the curb stones red, white and blue right through the main street. At the walks, they would be banging, they would target the Catholic families and deliberately antagonise them with the parades, find out when the Mass was on and parade during the Mass, all kind of things. This all went on in one town, and no doubt happened in all the other towns. And I remember in Armadale, we used to go to Mass here on a Sunday morning, and the Orange Hall was along the road, and they started having their march halfway through the Mass, so that the big drum would be banged. They'd stop outside the chapel so they could really bang the big drum. Now, the priest got fed up with this, and he changed the time of the Mass, and within 2 weeks, the Orange Order changed the time of their walk to re-coincide with this Mass. That's the kind of thing that goes on here in central Scotland. And the reason I left, or we left, was, as I said, things were going downhill rapidly. And before I tell you why we left precisely, I have to tell you that the couple, or the wife of Jock, who reared our firstborn, our son, stayed in the cottage next to us. Jean reared our young boy, looked after him. You know, she was on a door along, and she helped my wife out immensely. She let my wife go shopping, look after her son, do all kinds of things. She was a wonderful, wonderful woman. She was head of the Eastern Star. Now, that's Masonic Lodge. And Jock was head of the male side of things. One of our very best friends, Jim, and his wife. Jim was a Grand Master in the Orange Lodge, and he loved our kids to bits, and our kids would go down there and stay with him and play with his dog. We would always go and see Jim. We'd pass his house many a time, we'd go in and have a cup of tea. I'm trying to paint a picture here of the old heads in this Orange Protestant nation. They were the correct people, not the new generation, and it was the new generation that drove us out of our town. Have to say, but that's a fact. And the night that convinced us to leave, we went up to one of the local clubs that we used to frequent, and we spent 15 minutes in that because two new people had appeared behind the bar, and they were two of the younger, bitter ones. And let's just say that what was said behind the bar, but we heard, was enough to drive us out, and we went along to one of the other pubs and went into the lounge. Unbeknownst to us, that on that Saturday night, that particular pub had decided to start playing blue movies. And so, now, for a pub to be playing blue movies on a Saturday night when they knew that people were coming in, husbands and wives, into the lounge, not the bar. And so we walked immediately out of that. We went across the road to what used to be the old Miners, and it was then just a pub, and we went in there, and two guys known to be extreme anti-papists were sitting at the bar. And as soon as we entered, of course they recognised me and my wife, particularly my wife because she was born in that place, and they started to sing between themselves these sectarian songs. Now, I had ordered a pint of beer and a drink for my wife, and I went over to the table and I says, just ignore them because they'll stop. But they didn't stop. They sang another song and they were looking over and giggling at us at the corner. And so I got up, went over to the bar, and I gave the lady, she had served my pint of beer, and I said, just keep it because I won't be wanting it. And she says, why don't you want it? I says, if you think I'm sitting here listening to that in your pub. So we started to walk out, and we heard her saying to these two guys, that's the third set of customers I've lost tonight because of you lot. But she wasn't telling them to shut up. So in other words, she was tolerating it. We walked back home that night, and on the walk back, 10 minutes walk, we discussed our move, and we moved as soon as we could from that place, because it was going so far downhill. Now, I'm painting a kind of bleak picture of this, but in actual fact, what I'm painting is a hard, hard fact about what goes on in this part of the world. It doesn't happen in the northern parts. In fact, if you go north of Stirling, you must know that you will not get it. You don't get it over on the west coast, because they play mostly shinty. They have no knowledge of this. And I don't even suspect it comes into play in the border region. It certainly comes to play in the central belt here, and it is absolutely terrible, this bigotry and hatred. Now, it comes from both sides. I have to say that I'm not painting one picture from being a Catholic side, but I have to say that having lived in Bathgate for 21 years before I moved to Hartill for 21 years, and then I've been back here for 22 years, and knowing all the wee towns round about, I have to say, in all honesty, and I'm not being biased here, that the Protestant element, and I'm talking about not the genuine church-going Protestant, because most of these ones do not attend church, probably have never been in a church in their life, and yet proclaim to be Protestants, which is a religion and a belief. I'm afraid that it is so bigoted, and it's so terrible, the things that go on, and as I said, I've not even documented a thousand things that happened in the 21 years that I was up there. I think it's terrible the way that Catholic people have been treated in these towns. It's still going on to this day. If you were to go to Hartall just now and spend a week or two staying in Hartall, being a Catholic, you would soon be found out, and you'll soon find out exactly what they think of Catholics and how they will treat them. And it's absolutely shocking. And in this day and age, it's still going on. Nothing seems to be getting done about it. They talk, they postulate in Parliament and government how they're going to stamp this out. And yet, if you go through Hartall and Armadale, you'll see red Hand of Ulster flags hanging in people's windows. You'll see Union Jacks. Now, the Union Jack's not put up for what you would think. It's put up as a statement saying this family is Protestant, this family is orange, this family is blue, blue being the colour of the Rangers supporters. But it's all statements, and as I said, governments talk about stamping this out, they're doing nothing to stamp it out. Trust me, you can go up through Hartall and Armadale just now, and you will see these flags and rattan the Ulsters flying everywhere. No one seems to do anything about it, and it's all antagonism, and it's all in your face, and in this day and age it really should be stamped out. So I have to commend, as I was saying, I have to commend Chris there on putting this subject up, and for a wonderful reading by Paul. And I hope I haven't painted too gloomy a picture of what goes on. Life in general is very, very good in this area, but there has a picture to be painted, and it's not necessarily a very nice picture of current affairs regarding sectarianism and religion in this part of the world. So thanks again, Chris. Interesting, very interesting subject. And thanks again, Paul, for a wonderful, wonderful read. Bye for now.